Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, that's a little Foo Fighters heading into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. Vivian from the Surratt Show back behind the glass after being up at 3 o'clock this morning. How you doing there?
I'm doing all right, actually. I think I'm heavily caffeinated.
So okay. All right, fair enough. Are you up? You're up though, right? I'm going to keep doing that throughout the show. All right, beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I'll tell you, the time frame in order to be considered for a hall induction is simple. You have to wait 25 years after the release of your first record. This year's inductees were announced, and to help break it all down is a legendary musician himself. Poi Dog Pondering, Expo 76, The Sunshine Boys, Sonic 45, The Slugs, just to name a few where my guest has made a musical impact. And you can also hear him on the Steve Dahl podcast. That's my pal, Dog Jewel. And Dog, what's up, buddy?
How are you, Dave? It's great to be on with you tonight.
When do you think the last time the Foo Fighters played on WGN Radio? When do you think?
Probably within the last 2 weeks, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think at all.
Are you updating your sound?
No. Yeah, we're not.
Probably never.
Yeah, probably never.
Good to hear that.
I didn't see you on the inductee list, by the way. That's a bunch of crap.
Well, I qualify.
You do.
I've been around for such a long time, but I do qualify. But, you got to just, wait till next year. Just assume that the right candidates are going in this year and hope for the best next year.
So. Yeah. I guess so. But before we dive into the list, Sonic 45, one of the bands that you are a part of, is releasing their debut album in late June. And it's you, it's Len Casper, Cubs, Sox, yes, play-by-play guy, Matt Spiegel, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd. Tell us a little bit about this new album.
Well, we've all been friends for a while, and we've all been involved in a yearly Cubs / Boston Red Sox charity called the Foundation to be Named Later. We've done shows in Chicago and Boston, Hot Stove Cool Music. It provides lots of funding and opportunities for inner city kids to go to college and pursue higher education and stuff like that. And they've been these incredible shows. And so we've all played together in these bands with set lists that Len has curated. Len is a very accomplished bass player and played for many years up in Milwaukee with a bunch of friends up there. So what's happened is that we've evolved into a unit playing songs that Len has written. He's written an incredible body of work, and we formed Sonic 45 to play his songs, and so it's
love it.
It's going great, and we don't get a chance to play that often because he's obviously a very busy person, and we can sort of play seasonally, but we have an opportunity to do a record release show June 24th at Hey Nani, a really nice small club in Arlington Heights, which will celebrate the debut of our album, our first album. So we're very excited about that.
Very cool. And Expo 76, that was almost 10 years ago that you came in.
Well, I'm going to say it's probably 11. Oh, yeah, that's right. We came in for New Year's Eve with you, didn't we?
Yeah. I had like a 6 or 7 hours late night New Year's Eve show going into the new year. And you came in. You played for like an hour. It was like, it was awesome.
It was great. Yeah, that's a cover band that does kind of less obvious songs, perhaps, that people might be used to for a cover band, and friends of mine that I've known for a long time. And we've been up and running now for about 11-something years and have regular, or at least will re you know, restart our regular residencies at places like Simon's and Fitzgerald's and stuff. So, yeah, busy band.
Yeah, you know, how has that been for you? Because, I mean, you talk about busy guy. I mean, you are playing all the time. And, of course, you're in all these bands, and then you do the podcast with Dahl. You know, what has life been like this last year? I mean, you got to be just itching to get back. And I know you've done a little bit of it, but, man, it's been it's been a rough one.
It has been rough because as soon as the pandemic hit, right when my other group, Sunshine Boys, which is original material, we were planning the release of our second album was going to be, you know, May 1st of 2020, and we got waylaid by the pandemic in March, you know, and so we had all this momentum. We had just done a tour with Juliana Hatfield, opening up for her, and it was going tremendously well. And we had all this momentum that was sort of sliding into this special record release show that we had planned, and nothing. We had to stop it, you know.
Yeah.
So we're going to be having a record release show that's also essentially celebrating the 1 year release of the record, whatever that's going to be. So it's, you know, that was really rough. That was really up. And you know, the podcast, we do it from home. We've been doing it from home for a couple of years. So that element was not that different. But in terms of the bands and the busyness and all these different bands and all these different gigs, to have that completely pulled out was quite a shock. And it looks like we're, you know, bands in general and venues in general are starting to kind of cautiously reemerge right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well,
yeah.
It's amazing that I get you after the show tonight for a couple cocktails on a Friday night.
Hey,
I
mean, how about that? A rare Friday night off.
Seriously.
You know, yeah, well, I consider myself lucky too, David.
Oh, please, please, you're embarrassing me. All right, let's start with the performer category, because there's a bunch of people in here that, you know, it's almost like a no-brainer. Some may not be household names, and then there was just overall like snubs that have been happening for years. But the two big ones, of course, Tina Turner and Carole King, I think.
Yeah, I mean, these are great. There's an interesting thing because they're both going in for the second time.
Right.
They were both initially inducted as part of partnerships with men. You know, they're partners. They're kind of they're husbands.
Yes, Ike,
that were
yeah.
maybe a little unstable,
yeah.
you know, on both fronts. But so two really strong women who really define themselves in it, and it kind of speaks to this being a very strong year, I think, it seems, for women, you know, to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think maybe, you know, in general, people, maybe they're going to start recognizing women a little bit more. It feels like there's been some complaints and some, you know, people pointing out that, you know, so that it's been, again, you know, the sort of men's club. And it's nice to see, these are two very prominent artists. And in the case of Carole King, a lot of people are probably not aware of the songs that she has written for people. You know, everyone knows Tapestry, and that's a landmark album for a number of reasons. You know, not only was it a woman kind of declaring her independence and maturing as an artist and planting a flag in this kind of developing a Laurel Canyon Southern California scene, you know, kind of kicking off a bunch of musical alliances and topping the charts for months and months. But this is also the maturing of an incredible songwriter who, you know, the people know that she wrote The Locomotion,
right,
or,
the,
you know, Up on the Roof, or Herman's Hermit, and, you know, I'm Into Something Good, or the fact that she's been around long enough as a songwriter that the Beatles on their first album covered a Carole King.
That's crazy.
Jerry Goffin song. It's incredible. So this is a woman who started off very early and has had an incredible career. So she's really a kind of a cornerstone of this whole thing. And it's good to see her, I think, in there as her own, not part of the, you know, as great as that and fruitful as that partnership was, to see her, Carole King, you know. Did you have a chance to see the musical?
Yes, the musical. I got to see that, and then I also got to see the Tina Turner documentary on HBO that was on earlier this year too. So they both had some great extras out there, and they now join Stevie Nicks who got her solo work in, I think it was 2019, a couple years ago, and then Fleetwood Mac was back in 98. So nice to see him. Nice to see him both in there. We're talking to Doc Julin. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. We got to take a quick break. More with him next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees with Doc Julin. The Go-Go's, they've been eligible for the Rock Hall forever. I think their first album turned 25 in 2006. I wonder if the Showtime documentary, like a lot of these bands have these documentaries coming out this year, which was very good, by the way, kind of threw them into the spotlight.
And Kathy Valentine's book is another one is on my must-read list. Yeah, so I want to check both of those out. But I think the Go-Go's are one of those groups that, if you look at their body of work, it's not necessarily a large body of group. But I think what they did was influence a ton of groups that followed. You know, and they were the first kind of number one group that was all female, and they were all like self-contained and everything like that. So I'm happy to see them. I'm happy to see them in there. Happy to see them still working, and you know, their output has been high quality all along. There's just not that much of it. But again, like I say, I think they were more influential than anything. You know,
who would you say was the first big female rocker? I mean, everyone may think Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, Debbie Harry, but it wasn't any of those. Like the 70s.
Oh boy, I don't know. I think you can make a case for Susie Quattro as one of the original kind of dyed-in-the-wool rockers.
I agree, and I've actually I asked you that question because I've got her coming on the show in a few weeks. So I'm going to do a Women in Rock. I'm going to do Susie first, who just put out a new album, and then I'm going to have Pat, Joan Jett, and Debbie Harry. So it's going to be a nice jam-packed little show there.
That's a great collection of women rockers. That's really good. I'd like to hear that. I think Susie Quattro's time is due for some recognition, so I'm glad to see that.
Pat Benatar, too.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about her as well, yeah.
We've got Jay-Z, considered to be one of the greatest rappers alive. You know, 14 number one albums, 22 Grammys, first rapper inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame. You got the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl's receiving his second Hall induction because he got that honor with Nirvana in 2014. Todd Rundgren? You know, I get it, but he's expressed time and time again that he just doesn't give a damn about this award whatsoever.
He's come out lately saying that he's happy for his fans. And I think if you want to talk about tremendous sort of snubs over the years, I really think that Todd is near the top of the list, because this is a guy who's been, his debut record was in 1970, you know, so he's been eligible for a long time. He's made some major contributions to music. He's technologically been at the forefront. He's produced some incredible records, you know, like he produced Bat Out of Hell from Meatloaf. He produced XTC, Skylarking, and the New York Dolls, and Patti Smith. So this is a guy that has varied a career and is a formidable one-man band, you know. So this is a guy who's, you could really make a case for, has done it all.
Yes.
And while he might be a little snarky about it, and there's been a little blowback from against the Hall of Fame from people.
There has been.
Steve Miller over the years, just breaking it down, saying, well, you know, it cost me $10,000 to get my bass player a seat at the table, stuff like that. So some interesting kind of behind-the-curtain stuff about the Hall, and you get you know, somebody's been in it in the music business for a long time, you get a bit of their skepticism or whatever.
A little bit.
I think in terms of Todd Rundgren being recognized in a very official and sort of high profile way, I think it's long overdue. I just saw in person his concert a couple of months ago, which was like a sort of a quarantined kind of, you know, he did these shows that were sort of broadcast through different cities, but they were all based in Chicago, and I was in the crowd with eight other people, and they delivered this full-on rock show, and this is a guy who's 70 or 70-something.
I know, that's amazing.
And bringing it as forcefully as anyone, and he's just a guy to to really be admired, and his material has been top-notch all the way through. So I say yes to Todd.
That's going to be you in a couple of years. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate that, Dave.
All right, German group Kraftwerk, Charlie Patton, Jill Scott-Heron, LL Cool J, Billy Preston, Randy Rhoads, some names that might not, you know, Randy Rhoads died back in 82, but he was with Quiet Riot and played with Ozzy Osbourne. Executive Clarence Avant. But, you know, there's people that just aren't in. You mentioned, you know, Susie Quattro, Pat Benatar, which still stuns me. Judas Priest not in.
Judas Priest not in. Iron Maiden not in. Kiss were very vocal over the last couple of days about the absence of Iron Maiden. Metal is maybe not something that's been fully embraced by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at this point. But, yeah, so there's some interesting omissions from everything. I was talking with some friends earlier, and there's a guy that maybe not a lot of people know his name, but he was a guy who was as influential in the start of rock and roll as anyone, a guy called Lonnie Donegan, who was sort of started the skiffle craze in England in the mid-50s put guitars in the hands of John Lennon and Jimmy Page. And all these guys were drawn to the skiffle craze, and then they saw Elvis, and that blew everything open. But Lonnie Donegan is a major, I think, omission, if you want to talk in terms of the history of rock and roll and the thing that progressed rock and roll to the next level. So
the Monkees is another one that, you know, I understand there were studio artists in that first album, but I mean, they've been playing. Okay. If they've been playing for 60 years, 1 year they had studio people in there. I think they're another one that's completely overlooked. What shows do you have coming up? Do you have anything scheduled? Do you have anything ready to go, Doug?
I do. I've got, as we mentioned, Sonic 45, the record release of our debut, June 24th at Hey Nani. Sunshine Boys, my trio that I'm in with Frida Love Smith and Jackie Schimmel, will be playing at Fitzgerald's July 10th. Poi Dog Pondering will be out in Aurora at the River.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, nice.
August 26th, Expo76.com. We're playing all the time. We're getting back into it. So, I'm playing Wednesday night at Hey Nani with Jason Narduzzi, who plays with Bob Mould, and we're doing a night of Pete Townsend songs. So I'm super busy. So
awesome.
Yeah,
great stuff,
and
man.
If anyone wants to talk to me, you have my number, Dave. Just give them my number.
Just put it out. I'm going to do it on the air. What the hell?
Why not? Dave?
It's all good. And, of course, the Steve Dahl podcast.
The Steve Dahl podcast, Dahl.com, 5 days a week, quality entertainment from a radio legend who's still at the top of his game. So tune in.
I'll see you for cocktails shortly.
Yes, you will.
See you, pal.